This is James Turner of O'Reilly Media. I'm talking today with Theodore Cho, who is the Chief Platform Strategist at the Linux Foundation. Thank you for taking some time to talk to us.
Glad to.
So why don't you start off by talking a little bit about your background and how you came to be involved with the Linux Foundation?
So I got involved with Linux starting in 1991. I believe, or at least Linus tells me, that I'm the first North American Linux kernel developer. I started in late August of 91 with the Linux kernel version 0.09, and been involved with Linux for a very long time. In 1999, I started making Linux my full-time job when I started working for VA Linux Systems. And in 2001, I started working for IBM. And about 9 months ago, I started a two-year assignment with the Linux Foundation. So I'm still employed by IBM, but they're letting me spend 2 years helping out the Linux Foundation, largely with the Linux standard space, but I'm also doing other things with them in terms of, helping with the Kernel Summit, which is now being run out of the Linux Foundation, and, all sorts of other things. But those are probably the two biggies.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the Linux standard base? Why don't you, first of all, start by describing exactly what it is?
So the LSB is what we call an AVI, an Application Binary Interface. Unlike an API, an Application Programming Interface, its goal is to provide, instead of source-level compatibility, binary-level compatibility, so that a single executable can be assured of working the same way on any LSB-certified distribution. So we actually certify applications as well as certify distributions. And the goal is that if the application obeys certain rules and the distribution passes our test suite, that the application should work on that distribution.
Why is the LSB important, and who are the major people who benefit from it?
So the major people who benefit from it are ISVs, independent software vendors, who will be able to save costs by not having to release different product images for different Linux distributions. Back in the late 80s, when we had the Unix wars, it's been commonly accepted that one of the reasons why Microsoft was able to take over the desktop was that there was no standard ABI, and so software vendors that wanted to release products for Unix had to do so on half a dozen to a dozen different splintered Unix variants. And that cost a huge amount of money, or they could just simply release on Windows. And so one of the reasons why the LSB was formed was to avoid a repeat of that situation. So it helps the independent software vendors because it saves them costs. Hopefully that promotes a stronger software ecosystem for Linux for those people who are interested in purchasing software for their Linux servers or their Linux clients. And it also helps the Linux industry as a whole because it's one of the things that helps keep compatibility between various Linux distributions, and therefore it sort of strengthens Linux in a way that Unix really didn't have that benefit in the late 80s.
When you talk about binary compatibility, is that binary compatibility on a given point release of Linux, on a given major release of Linux? There are big differences, for instance, between 2.4 and 2.6. in terms of libraries, what are the standards that are applied in there?
So it's not as much about the Linux kernel as it is about the entire Linux platform. In fact, it's most of the problems arise less from the kernel, although there have been situations where there have been compatibility issues due to kernel versions, but more because of the shared libraries that distributions choose to ship. And so what we do is the LSV is a rolling standard, and so we specify different versions of the LSV. The currently released version of the LSV is LSV 3.2, and we are currently working on LSV 4.0, which will be released at the end of the year. And the compatibility really comes from the libraries and the interfaces of those libraries that we specify. In practice, there are multiple different versions of a particular shared library, such as the GNU libc library, that might satisfy the constraints of the LSV, and that's because shared library maintainers do recognize the importance of backwards compatibility, and that's actually one of the things that we do try to do, is to work with the upstream developers so they use our test suites and can find compatibility problems earlier that perhaps they had, you know, unintentionally introduced, and find it before the distributions find them. And also just to encourage people to write their libraries in a way that promotes this type of compatibility, primarily by adding new interfaces and not changing already established interfaces.
There's more than just binary compatibility to the way Linux works these days. Some people like slash opt, some people like user local, some people stick everything in user bin. Is there any effort to try to get some standardization around things like directory paths and other kind of non-binary issues with Linux?
Part of the Linux standards base is the file system hierarchy standard, which strongly encourages independent software vendors to install their binaries in slash opt. And so that's what we do encourage. In practice, where data files live very often is a matter of the choice of the individual system administrator. And so in my experience, many of the application vendors will allow that to be something that's configurable via some type of configuration parameter, maybe a config file or environment variables. But if you take a look at Oracle, for example, Oracle will allow the Oracle tablespace files to be located, you know, in a location of the system administrator's choosing. But in terms of where the binaries themselves are installed, we strongly encourage slash opt.
Another obvious area where there isn't a lot of compatibility these days, although it's more, right, but there are less of them than there used to be, is in package management, and it's probably one of the biggest roadblocks to having one software package that can install on any distribution. Again, is that something that you'd like to see more standardization of?
I would. I think you're right. It's a very, very hard problem. We actually try to address that problem in two different ways. One is in the LSV, we provide a very limited subset of the RPM package format, which we know is compatible across all of the distributions and also compatible to Debian and Ubuntu via a program called Alien that will actually convert RPMs into Debian packages and then install them. And so And then the other thing that we do is the LSB uses a single dependency on the LSB. So basically there's a meta package LSB that guarantees all of the libraries that are specified by the LSB. And that tends to work very well because it just sort of bypasses the issue of different distribution using different package names to name the various libraries that an RPM might depend upon. The other thing that we do see, though, is that some ISVs want to use their own delivery system, primarily so they can be portable across other platforms. So if you have a large software vendor, whether it's Oracle or IBM Software Group, BEA, and so on, they very often will use the same product documentation across multiple different Unix and Linux systems. And so they want the installing experience for their customers to be the same regardless of platform. And so they actually package their own installer media. One of the things we've been working with them on is something called the Berlin API, which is an optional specification that might allow distributions to get information from an ISV-provided installer so that they can at least have an uninstall mechanism which is more better integrated with the distribution. That's something that isn't going to be in LSB 4.0, but it's something we've been toying with. The reality is today for those systems, what in practice happens is the ISV has been providing their own installer and it installs in /opt or whatever, and there isn't currently a clean uninstall mechanism. And that's one of the things that we've been trying to work with ISVs to try to provide some standardized way of making that kind of functionality available to Linux users.
When I was looking at the LSB on the website, I noticed mention of things like MySQL. How are those fitting into the LSB? You know, that's a database product.
MySQL has been working with us and we've been using it mainly as a proof point to demonstrate that a application as complex as a MySQL database could in fact be packaged as an LSB application. It's useful to MySQL because they can just simply package, if they were to choose to do so, a single binary that would work across multiple Linux distributions. Now, in practice, MySQL being open source, many of the distributions are, of course, already including MySQL in the distribution. But so the only main reason why MySQL might want to do this is if they want to provide, one standardized release level for their commercial support offering. But that's one place where, once they decide that that's the path they want to go down with a customer, where the customer wants to get commercial support from MySQL, if they were to use the LSB to ship, one product image for all distributions that are LSB certified, it saves MySQL costs, because they don't have to have, build one version of MySQL for Red Hat, another version of MySQL for SUSE, yet another for Ubuntu, and so on.
What do you consider some of the greatest successes that the LSB has had to date?
So there's a certain amount of work that we've been doing behind the scenes that isn't necessarily visible to the rest of the world. But the fact that the distributions are largely compatible with one another is actually one of the side effects of the LSB. There have been times in the past where, for example, the distributions were about to release different versions of G++ that did turned out not to be backwards compatible or not compatible with each other. And we detected that before the distributions had actually finalized their release plans, and we were able to go to both of them and say, look, the G++ people made an unintentional backwards compatibility problem in one of the standard C++ libraries, libstandard C++, such that even though these two release versions were supposed to be compatible, they're not. And, you know, through some gentle negotiation with both distros, one of the distros actually agreed to change what they shipped to avoid that particular backwards compatibility problem. And so there's a certain amount of the work that we do, even if we don't have applications standardizing on LSB. We have a few applications that have actually certified to the LSB, but to be honest, not as many as I would have liked, you know, where we are right now, say, you know, 3 to 5 years ago. I actually thought we would have been further ahead in terms of ISV adoption, and we haven't been. But nevertheless, there's been quite a bit of work that we've done in terms of using the test suites to detect problems up front, actually find bugs in the various libraries and get them fixed, and, you know, keeping the LSB platform closer together.
Conversely, what would you think are the most vexing problems that still face you guys?
So one of the most vexing problems has been on the desktop, where the open source community has been developing new desktop libraries faster than we can standardize them, and also ISVs that want to use those latest desktop libraries, even though they may not be stable yet. And in some ways, that's sort of, you know, us being a victim of our own success. The LSB desktop has been getting better and better, and despite all the jokes that, you know, for every year since, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, every year has been, you know, promoted as the year of the Linux desktop, the fact of the matter is the Linux desktop has been making gains very, very quickly. But sometimes, as a result of that, some of the bleeding-edge interfaces for the Linux desktop haven't been as stable as, say, the C library. And so it's been challenging for ISVs because they want to actually ship products that will work across a wide range of Linux distributions. And this is one of the places where the Linux upstream sources haven't stabilized themselves. And one of the issues with the LSB is if the upstream developers are still making changes, there's nothing we can do on the LSB to really help the ISVs. And this is a problem which I think the desktop community is definitely coming to understand, and they're trying to think ahead about, you know, how to make their interfaces more forward compatible so that as they add new features, they don't need to go back and change pre-existing interfaces. But that's been an ongoing challenge.
How do you decide if a given library or binary should be included in the LSB or not as new things come along?
So there are a couple of ways. It's a fairly complicated process. One of the first things that we do is we base it on requests from the software vendors, application programmers that say, you know, we really want to have some kind of sound interface in the LSB. In addition, we have a tool that we used to be called the Application Test Kit, and we've since rebranded it to be a little bit less geeky. It's now called the Linux Application Checker, which can be used to scan an application and determine, number one, whether or not it's using interfaces that are outside of the current versions of the LSB. And even if it is, we'll actually analyze the libraries that it uses and give a warning to the programmer about how generically portable that application might be across different distributions. So even if their application isn't LSB compliant because it's using, say, some new desktop library that's not yet in the LSB, the application checker can actually tell them, gee, you're using, you know, Qt4, and so you'll work on these distributions, but you won't work on RHEL 4, for example, because it doesn't ship some library that you need, but it will work on RHEL 5. Now, of course, that's not a guarantee that it will work, but it's a whether or not the shared libraries and the interfaces that that application needs would be satisfied by different distributions. One of the other things that can be done with the Linux application checker is if they click on the upload button, the list of all of the interfaces they use can get uploaded to one of our servers, and we can use that statistical information of how many applications are using which libraries and which interfaces of those libraries to help us determine what are the next libraries that we should add to the LSB.
How does the LSB work when you're looking at environments like mobile or small form factor devices? Do you have special subsets of the standard when you're looking at them?
We are starting to work with some of the various embedded players for adapting the LSB to those environments. In fact, in those environments, the model of the LSB actually works very, very well, because in these embedded environments, very typically, there is a very restricted set of libraries that will be present. And so this type of testing is especially important. Moblin, the Intel initiative, has actually been using our tools as part of their test procedure, and that's fine. All of our tests, all of our tools are open source, so they're perfectly free to do that. And we're working with them to, potentially help them with their certification effort. Since they're using our tools, we understand them very well, and we think we can add value to Moblin. But in fact, there are some of these mobile platforms that are looking very, very hard or are already using our tools as part of their platform definition.
Theodore Cho, Chief Platform Strategist at the Linux Foundation, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us, and good luck with standardizing Linux.
Thanks. Happy to chat with you.